from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
You know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming! And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The morning shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Good morning. This is The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And we are live here in the Kia Studios. Mike, Bo, Tiff hanging out here with you on this Tuesday
edition. Welcome back, Tiff!
And it is good to be back. Thank you for welcoming me back.
Yeah, you already know how it rolls up in here. Good to have you back. we left Bowen Island yesterday. He had Miss Nikki Noto and Rob Tribble hanging out with him. So how'd the show go yesterday? Everything good?
Felt like I talked a lot yesterday. Day-Day, do you concur? I talked a lot yesterday.
Nobody knows the Braves like Bo.
It was good. It was fun. I mean, I just feel like sometimes I do talk. If both you guys are out, I think there's deference, right? Let Bo talk more because technically he's kind of the last man standing.
It's up to me and Tiff to keep a lid on it sometimes, man.
Tiff will hand signal me like she's landing an airplane to shut up.
I have enough experience with that.
You just kind of egg me on a little bit.
Yeah, I'm like, man,
Mike,
I just look at you.
That's
like,
just, you know, it's kind of a running theme with you. You've left me on an island a couple of times.
Oh, man.
You know, Mike left me on an island this weekend, and I wasn't on his own doing. He couldn't help it. He had some obligations, but I had to go for our fantasy draft.
Oh, that's true.
And we got
kind of duped on that too.
I'm so glad to be back and talk about fantasy. Oh my god!
I liked our trade.
Rosters.
We picked up numbers. We got four prospects that could really do something out of. We took two picks, Tiff.
And we turned them.
I turned it into four.
Oh that's man, I see the
Squid Billy magic.
Wow. Yeah, your GM magic.
That's I'm headed down to Florida to deal with some family stuff, and Bo's on the phone, and I can. It's funny they. Our fantasy draft had a Zoom computer, and on the computer was where you put in the picks. You know, it was on like an Excel spreadsheet, and it had Zoom up, so the camera's facing whoever's making the pick. And I'm watching it, and I can see Bo's face just pop up in the screen like a fish eye.
So you still watch it from afar?
Yeah, I watched it from my phone. I clicked on the Zoom link so I could watch and see who was being selected in our fantasy dynasty draft.
Yeah,
it's not an arrogance. It's a confidence.
Yeah.
That is a good topic possibly for the wake-up call to ask people how dedicated are you to your fantasy, because one of the guys on vacation with us, Denzel, friend of the show, we're in the back of a cab. I don't know what country we're in, but he's talking about Patrick Mahomes, and he's talking about someone making this move. And I'm looking at him like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he was participating in his draft.
It's a big deal. And even so, we're in a dynasty draft, so these picks are going to stick with us for years. We can't just...
It's generational.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We can't just come over that.
Well, that's why I went with... The trade. We traded the seventh overall pick in the rookie draft for three number twos.
Ended up being Bo Nix, I think, right? Somebody took Bo Nix with that?
I think they took Bo Nix. They did. That's right. Yeah, Derek took Bo Nix. And so I did it because, hey, you know, one of these guys might
grab
out.
His grandma's a friend of the show, too.
Well, yeah, I know. We did miss out on Bo Nix, but
Linda.
I don't think we would have picked Bo Nix anyways. At seven.
Tiff, what was the highlight? I know we're going to get to the Braves in a second, but we got plenty of time here. What was the highlight?
Everything, because it was
the absolute
Olympics,
pinnacle
then vacation. Talking to Thierry Henry. That is probably, that trumps anything. Like, vacation was cool, but that was was incredible. And then handshake afterwards. But yeah, getting assigned after the U.S. men unfortunately got knocked out in the knockout round, I was reassigned to France and getting to cover the home team in the home country, in the home stadium with all the, it was the atmosphere. I can't even explain it with everyone singing their national anthem and just the pride they had. And yeah, getting to cover that team, even though they ended up losing in the final, was still pretty cool. But Thierry Henry, as a soccer girl growing up, like that was, yeah.
I wasn't even a soccer guy growing up, just played enough FIFA to know that I wanted to select Thierry Henry when I was playing FIFA. And he was a beast.
He is. It was pretty cool.
That is cool.
Glad I asked. I do awesome. Appreciate you guys, everyone, holding down the fort while I was gone. And then all the wonderful guest hosts that you guys had, too, filling in. So thank you, everyone.
What we had? Seven? If you can count Rob. Zeno was Robbie here T. hanging out for a little bit. Obviously, A-Town, which I didn't – I think she was a little bit taken aback by how much we called her A-Town when she was in here.
Oh, really?
Because that's something she gets anywhere else.
I've actually renamed her the South Jersey Shoe Queen.
Yeah, she was heavy on the podiatry.
She literally basically –
What did she walk in here?
Well, no, she – well, we
well
saw,
I was at a camp.
Or at camp.
Yeah,
we're at camp. Okay.
We talked at training camp before she actually guest hosted, and we were talking about ACL injuries. And the next thing I know, she's like – yeah, those shoes are old. Those aren't the right New Balance because the number's wrong on them. And I'm like, wait, what? And next thing I know, she's like, how old are your shoes? You know you got to replace them every 6 months. You're basically just walking on carpet.
Yeah.
Well,
next
I thing did I, not.
Dude, she taught me how
to.
Tiffany, I now tie my shoe differently because of my experiences with A-Town.
Close up. It was,
no kidding. Yeah, you get it tied on a, hold on,
on
a 45-degree angle like this or whatever.
That's why she always does that?
Yeah. She's like, you know, that's how you get your heel in the back. I complete an hour later in camp, I go, I have no clue what happened in practice today, but I now know how to tie my shoes. It was unbelievable.
They talked about feet for an hour. I was like, yo.
I did not know that you guys just unearthed something about one of my best friends that I never knew.
Tiffany,
learn things about
Tiffany,
you too.
Wind up doll and let her go. Because literally, you wind her up and she will talk for hours about shoes. Yeah, it's quite the experience sitting there.
Yeah.
Jeez,
lived
I bet.
A lot of lives in there.
Well, yes, you saw Matt Olson's home run. You'd probably think that was quite the experience, too. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. So, yeah, Olson, a monster game that helped the Braves blast past the Twins 10-6. But I know you guys were salivating over that home run that he had.
What is it? Is it now three times that the opposing team has scored four more runs and the Braves have won the actual game?
Yeah,
because it's been very, very, very few this year. I think it's three.
I kind of stopped keeping up with that stat because it got
so depressing.
It was putting me in a bad place. What I would say is I did it yesterday. Tuesday, the Braves won against the Phillies 3-1. Wednesday they lost 3-2. Thursday they won 3-2, and then Friday they won 3-2, and then Saturday won 4-2. And I was like, so we're just gonna have 3-2, 4-2 ball games for like eternity, and then you lose on Sunday, and then they come back and they pop out 10 runs,
9 of the first two innings.
Matt Olson has 6 RBIs in his last 2 games with 2 home runs. It was good to see him get his bat. Into some pitches the way he did because he was turning on them. Marcelo Zuna stays hot. It was a weird game. We scored 9 runs in the first 2 innings.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And it happened in the switchover from the top of the second to the bottom of the second. Tiffany, we thought Freed would leave. He came back in, ended up completing 5 innings of one earned run. And then they had some errors that put some runs, but
I didn't like that they brought him back in after the delay, man. That just like with the amount of injuries you've dealt with to this team, just seems like you're flirting with fire.
I was going to ask if that was a good thing that they picked right back up where they left off. I mean, Thunderstorm can throw anything off, right? But you got 9 runs, probably a pretty comfortable lead. But you didn't like seeing your guy come back out there.
Oh, man, like I mean,
because you're cold, right? You think you're not?
Yeah, and Snit's like, I'm going to give him the option. No, like sometimes you have to protect players from themselves to give Max Fried the option to be like, you can come in if you want. And of course, Max Fried's like, of course I want to come
back. Maybe he stayed warm. Maybe he did a really good job. He knows his body. He felt good.
Well, I actually agreed with it because I think you got to keep that bullpen fresh. It was 7 games basically with very good teams on the road. Now you've got 6 games left in that. I didn't need to see Chavez come out there and pitch too many innings. I liked the way they did it, where they did a mixture of Holmes, Johnson. Holmes is got him a couple innings, and you got Holmes, Johnson, Lee, which are three of you, now your more important relievers. I like the way they did it. No issues with it, because Fried only threw 73 pitches last night. So I have no issues with it whatsoever, and I think it was a very important game as well.
I agree with you. And look, Ben Ober, the opposing starting pitcher, 11 straight quality starts came to an end last night. I wouldn't say they hit him extremely hard. The numbers were obviously very skewed. Some of those hits, like Matt Olson's double, kind of finds a nice seam in the field. But it was an overall just good day, man. Anytime you can put up a lopsided number like that, when you're an offense that's been struggling the way you have, and then you get the defense, you continue to get Michael Harris enters the game for Jorge Soler. Soler makes a nice catch as well. Urshela continues to be good. I mean, Whit Merrifield, and let's talk about this for just 1 second. Whit Merrifield needs to be hitting leadoff. I mean, period. Put Michael Harris back in the 5 or 6 slot when he's back. To me, Whit Merrifield sets the stage for guys like Matt Olson.
You've seen enough for him to make that decision?
Yeah, I mean, like, my thing is, and I know that I'm not, it's probably recency bias, Tiff, seeing the numbers he put up yesterday, but he brings speed, and it seems like that position, since Ronnie goes out with the injury, has been a revolving door. All right, Whit Merrifield fits everything you want for that slot. He's going to be a part of this lineup for the foreseeable future, at least till everybody on the infield gets healthy.
Well,
leave him right there.
The problem for me with that is when Ozzie is going to come back hopefully in a couple weeks. And once that happens, now where do you go with that? I need to find a way to get some consistency moving forward with that leadoff spot, whether it's Soler or Michael Harris. But I need both of them to stay healthy. I mean, we need everyone to stay. We just can't.
They're Clark Kent and Superman right now. We don't see them at the same time.
The whole health thing is real, as in it continues to be real. And when I was sitting in a golf cart Sunday afternoon when I found out Michael Harris got hit and he had left the game, and I was like, well, here we go. But luckily it was just day-to-day, and it seems like he's fine.
Yeah. Let's keep the lineup talk going, but shift gears to the NFL and your Atlanta Falcons, because there is a 53-man roster projection that is out and inspired you guys to make your own. So who's going to make the final cut? Let's discuss next when we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We are back here on the Morning Shift, and we are inching closer to the start of the NFL season. The Falcons kick things off on September 8th against the Pittsburgh Steelers at home. But that being said, there's some roster magic possibly floating around. And this courtesy Mark Raimondi of ESPN, and he has done his final 2024 53-man roster projection. And so you guys want me to break this down for you?
You think he was wearing his Jordans when he wrote it?
No, he definitely was. Right. Yeah, and A-Town Alley was sitting there probably telling him not enough harsh support in the Jays.
So how old are those shoes, Bart?
Yeah, and George Kittle was looking at him as well and saying, hey,
or
man,
Greg Kittle, whichever Greg, one you want to call him.
I was like, man, George Kittle's here? I was like, wow.
I called George Kittle Greg Kittle for a whole segment.
I was like, what?
Yeah, Greg Kittle. No, Tiff, you don't have to go down and break it through. I think the biggest takeaway for anybody.
Her cousin's going
to
be the quarterback.
I mean, that's the thing. Biggest takeaways are this, and you tell me where I swerve wrong. All right, how about this?
Oh, so we're going to get Mike Johnson.
No, I'm going to give you three key points, and then you tell me what your key points were. My three key points are Taylor Heinicke is on the roster.
I disagree.
This is what you're looking at from Mark's list.
Yeah, from correct? Mark's okay. list. My three key points are this. Taylor Heinicke's on the roster. The offensive-defensive split is 23 on offense, 27 on defense, which was a clean 25-25 last year. And in terms of decisions to be made, 8 defensive linemen in a 3-4 scheme is an absolute eye-opener. I don't necessarily disagree with him on any of these, But those, to me,
can I ask
are
a question?
The key points as
yeah.
well.
Because you guys were talking during the break. Do you want to start with running backs?
We can start with running backs.
Yeah,
that's
go
fine
ahead.
With me.
Yeah.
Conversation.
How many does he have?
He has, obviously, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Agee, Avery Williamson, and Jason McClellan. I think
no.
you had.
Okay. I say no.
Okay.
I
right.
say no.
I was like, did I read it? I'm like, I'm reading. What am I reading
no,
wrong?
No.
No.
I think Bijan is here, obviously, and Tyler Agee is a lock. It's just, there's we don't even have to talk about them. I think
so
Avery
there will
Williams.
Not be four.
No, I don't think there'll be four. I think Avery Williams is a lock. I think what he can do, change of pace, come in. You know, he's also a guy that is a specialist, and he's going to return kicks. I don't think that you keep Carlos Washington or Jace McClellan because I think you're going to use that roster spot maybe at to keep an extra wide receiver. So that's, to me, where I think that Mark is off. I also think that one of those two will be easily to the practice squad, and I think they're so similar that if you thought you needed a fourth running back, you could make one of them a game day elevation from the practice squad.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to shed any tears if Jace or Carlos Washington were to be picked up by another team. I don't think that you're up in arms about it at this point.
Exactly. I don't think – now, are we good at running back? You want to move on to the next spot I disagree with?
No, I – Well, and I think that the reason he has Jace McClellan, and this is what Tiff was talking about, we talked about during the break, the reason I think he has Jace McClellan on this roster cutdown is I think he would be picked up quicker than some of the other options because he is a recent draft pick.
Yes.
He was drafted by the Falcons.
Alabama.
And I think that other guys, you can sneak through the practice squad, whereas if you cut Jace, a lot of people that just recently scouted him through that process would probably be like, well, Jace McClellan's available.
Well, I have to take Terry Fontenot and Raheem at their words, and they said they're building the roster for Pittsburgh. And they said they're doing these cuts to build a 48-man
Why are you rolling your
for
eyes?
Pittsburgh.
Why are you rolling
Because he
your
wants
eyes?
To disagree with me. Let me tell you something. Do you believe in your heart, take away your everything else, that Jace McClellan did enough to separate himself from Carlos Washington?
No.
Then why keep him?
Like I just said,
why use a roster spot
him,
for someone else?
Picked up.
So you don't think that there's not a, you don't think Chris Blair won't get picked up somewhere?
I'm not saying that either one of those guys. You're going to keep a third running back. I don't know that Avery Williams is the kind of guy from everything I've seen in preseason that you plug in and give carries to behind Tyler Allgeier.
I don't think you're giving. My point is I'm not really sure. Anybody's getting carries other than this front two, and I know you can say, well, what if somebody gets hurt? But I have no – for me, you have two three-down backs because I believe that Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier can both be three-down backs. So I might bring in Avery Williams to spell him here and there for, you know, a pass play or two, but I just don't – I don't think they're going to see action. And if an injury happens, it happens, you reevaluate the next week.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, at that point, if one of those front two guys go down, the other one's going to get a plethora of playing time. That's just the way I see it. I just don't think that Washington and McClellan have done enough where you couldn't put them on the practice squad and use them as a game day elevation.
I'll agree to you to a point that I haven't been terribly impressed by either one, Jason McClellan and Carlos Washington, throughout the preseason. And I do think I think running back, and then we can use this to pivot over to wide receiver. I think both of those at the back end of those rooms probably could use a little bit of tinkering, and I think that Terry and company will be keeping their eye on who becomes available over the next few days. So
I'll jump back to Mark Raimondi's list. Of course, he's at ESPN covering the Falcons, and for wide receivers, he has Drake London, Darnell Mooney, Ray-Ray McCloud, Kadarius Hodge, and Casey Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you need to add Chris Blair to that. I think you take Jace McClellan's spot, give it to Chris Blair, or we can go to another position with the word back in it and maybe talk about that. But I think Chris Blair is probably done enough on special teams and from what he did. He had a very good preseason.
Well, and also, I mean, you got to think, too, we've been out of practice. We've seen Casey Washington in person. He looks like a special teams Jesse.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at that guy, you're like, that guy passes every eye test we have, known to man. And I think there's a lot of upside to Casey Washington. I think Chris Blair's ball skills are better than Casey Washington's at this point. I think he high points the ball better. I think he catches with his hands a little bit better. I think Casey Washington maybe is a better route runner, but I think just in terms of being a wholesale wide receiver, I think Chris Blair probably deserves that role. Although, again, Casey Washington, draft pick this year, I think you kind of play that game through. That's why I rolled my eyes.
So you would keep five? Replace Casey Washington
six.
With Chris Blair, or you're saying add six.
I think where my six comes in is I'm not so sure that Taylor Heineke's on this roster.
I don't think he is.
They're probably moving.
So you think we're just sticking with got too Cousins much value. And Penix?
Yeah. Which by the way, Dean.
Even though you can have three.
You can.
You can also elevate from the P squad, the emergency thing.
But now that counts after the NFLPA. Yeah, I know we're going to get to it later, but after the NFLPA's ruling, you have to mention it in the conversation that'll count against one of your 48 where it wouldn't. I think that Taylor Heineke will be on the move in the next, maybe the next 5 hours, or he'll be cut. And then you'll see if you can get him, which I don't think you will. And then I think you'll figure out something from there. Maybe Paddock is the practice squad quarterback for now.
Well, let me just say this, too. And I want to get back to Tiff was asking me why I was rolling my eyes. Because I think this is coach speak, and I've been around these situations enough to know this. You're going to play roster math throughout week one because when you're a vested player and you're on a week one roster, your salary is guaranteed. All right? So sometimes they do play a little bit of this, this hokey pokey with the roster, and they go through week one and they say, we'll keep this guy, we'll cut this guy, try to sneak into the P squad, and then in week two, everything changes, and it's like, well, it's all based on the Pittsburgh matchup. It's not really. Like, a lot of this has to do with who we can sneak through, who we can cut later, who we think other teams would pick up, and whose salary we want to be guaranteed. And that's the reason I think Taylor Heineke's cap is, what, $4.5 million, his cap hit? But his dead money would be about right over $3 million.
Yeah, you save $1 million. That's it.
You're saving like somewhere between 1 and 1.5 for Taylor Heineke. I don't think that's not nothing. All right, in the grand scheme of it, when you want to keep the $5 million buffer, I don't think he showed me anything through preseason that would lead me to believe that he's going to be on this roster. I think they try to shop him around just a little bit.
Let me ask you this, and for those out there that may not maybe get it, you're saying everything is for the Steelers, to prepare for the Steelers, right? But you can afford to do that now with these roster changes because it's still early in the season?
It's everybody's going to set their roster in week one based off of who they can get through to practice squad, who won't be an eye-opener, who they think has value down the road for other teams, and who has value right now for them.
Yeah, and
right?
who they don't have to pay that full vested money to.
And I think that you can say, and I think Raheem's being honest to a point where he's saying, hey, we're going to put this 53-man roster together based on the Steelers. But there's a lot of other caveats.
There's
a lot of other zigs and zags in that conversation about, well, just like the conversation between Jace and Carlos Washington, Jace is a recent draft pick. You would think that he would be more of an eye-opener as a cut right now than Carlos Washington would, so you keep him instead of Carlos.
If you think he's that much better.
All things considered.
I think if you think they're the same player, you're like, oh, they're the same player. I think he's right. I think Mark nailed it on the tight ends. I think it's Pitts, Dwelly, and Charlie Warner. And I think he's also right on the offensive lineman. I think you got your starting five. I think Neuzel there's a guaranteed lock for me for Neuzel, Storm Norton. And I do think that Kyle Hinton has probably been the best of everybody else as far as interior, that you would probably keep him unless you decided you wanted to keep Davenport at tackle and let Neuzel be the swing guy inside.
I don't think that Neuzel's that guy. I think the Kyle Hinton, what did he get, 2 or 3 starts last year when Lindstrom's out for a couple of games, started against Carolina. I wasn't overly impressed with Kyle Hinton throughout preseason, but I think that he's definitely the most upside of the interior guys you have right now.
Unless you snagged someone from another roster that you saw that did that, which I think you tell me if I'm wrong, Mike. You played the positions of offensive line, but right. I think – if you have a guy in house and you kind of know that he can do what you need him to do in a pinch, and he knows your system, you might be open to keeping him instead of going out for someone who is almost the same player.
Yeah, I will say that I think, to your point, I will say that they did in the final preseason game, they started Javon Gwynn, right, and they started him at guard, and he's obviously played a little center, I think, the first week down in Miami. I think this was show us you can be the entire interior backup. And I'm not sure that actually panned out in his favor, even though I don't think Kyle Hinton was terribly impressive. But when you, like you said, we've talked about this all training camp. This is the same This is the same top nine linemen that they had a year ago. And all these three guys were in these same spots last year at the end of the year. And it seemed just easy enough to say, you know what, we like those guys. So there's your eight.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan Injured. Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Well, what is it like to be in six different countries in 5 weeks? Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot to unpack, and that will happen before my suitcases actually get unpacked. They're still just sitting in my living room. I'll break down my travels, which capped off with college football. Stay with us here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game for a TB's timeout.
Yes, it is a lovely morning, isn't it?
Now, more of The Morning Shift
on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Now listen up. Now let's take a look at what's going on in Tiffany's world.
This ain't funny.
With TB's Time Out on The Morning Shift.
I'm back. It is good to be back after, what, 5.5 weeks, close to 5.5 weeks, away from my travels getting to cover the Olympics and in France for 3 weeks. Then, if you want to know my... my travels, I was in France for 3 weeks, but it wasn't just France. We were traveling to different cities in France because covering the United States men's soccer team. I can't talk. Forgot how to do that. Throughout the Olympics, you got to see them play in various different venues. So I was in Marseille, Lyon, Saint-Étienne, and Paris. So that's four cities there. Once, yes.
So you never got to sit up in one hotel.
We had a home base. And when my flight, like everyone else experienced back on July 19th, like you're at the airport waiting to go and you can't go anywhere because the massive, you know, glitch, whatever it was again. So I left the 20th. I would have had a full day in Paris to get acclimated, but that got cut short. So I land the 21st, I think, if I remember correctly. And I got to my hotel at 4:30. And then now I'm giving you, a glimpse into the... I'll get to the fun stuff, but get to my hotel at 4:30, immediately had to go to wardrobe to get my wardrobe kit for everything that NBC had us wear. It was all Ralph Lauren. We had tailors on site, so I'm getting fitted.
Wow.
Which is crazy. It's the talent behind the scenes is tremendous. So you're getting fitted and tailored. My shorts getting hemmed, and I'm like, oh, wait, I actually fly out tomorrow morning. They're like, okay, let's get this done now. And... yeah, my flight was the next day to Marseille. And so that is where the men had their first match. And so, but it was a little bit crazy. So I barely got any time in Paris when I got there. But I mustered up the strength after traveling. I said, I'm going to go see the Eiffel Tower before the games start and it gets crazy. So I did. I took the train or their version of kind of like a subway.
Yeah.
So that was stunning. And the fact that because it was shut down, my credential got me in. So there wasn't a ton of people around the Eiffel Tower when I got to go. So that part was incredible.
Media, big time. They knew who you were.
Yeah, right. So multiple cities in France. Then for CBS, we had our NFL mandatory in-person seminar. So I am now flying from, actually, I stopped in London, say hello to a friend. I fly from London to New York City. I go do the two-day seminar. I get to meet with my crew. It was fantastic. Goodell came in and addressed us. We also got to have a dinner at the league office, which was really cool. Got to go underneath to see where they're monitoring all the games. So I'd never been in, been there before, right? So you've got multiple. Yes.
Wow.
We got to discuss a lot of the rule changes. So that was pretty cool. And then that was over. And then I jumped on a plane to Amsterdam to meet my friends. Was in Amsterdam for a day. Then we went to Prague. They're in Prague for a week. Ireland.
Back up just a minute. Okay, yes. So you were with the U.S. men's national team for how many days?
Soccer team for the entirety of, till they were knocked out in the knockout round. That probably would have been...
I was there for a
total of 3 weeks, but you're going to practices every day, right? Yeah. And you're going to their matches every day. Yeah. So
I'm just trying to decide how long you were with the United States and how long you were with France.
So France would have been probably, I'd say we were probably with them for a week.
Okay.
So a week of it was France.
All right.
If I can remember the days correctly.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Were you?
Well, no, I'm curious because I have some, and obviously I want to let you get to.
No. Ask away.
So you're covering the U.S. men's national soccer team. of those guys that were on that roster, who was one of your favorites to interview throughout that process? Do you have anybody? Stand out?
There are a lot of favorites, but one of the guys, Griffin Yao.
Okay,
Griffin Yao. Midfield, just quick off the ball player, watching him play, and everything runs together. I have to remember which match it was. It was like watching someone ice skate on grass. The cool thing about the rosters, I don't know if we discussed this before, was the fact that for men only, for football, I'm going to call it football for these purposes because that's what they call it over there.
All right, be careful.
So I know, right? I'll say soccer. So for soccer, what they do in the Olympics is that the rosters, everyone is 23 and under. It's capped there because I think FIFA has a lot to do with it. They want to showcase the younger talent. You're allowed to have 3 older players on your roster, and that's it. So that kind of leads me to maybe the French part of it, which was Thierry Henry. You know, they wanted to get, like Mbappe, they wanted to get these guys, but a lot of their clubs that they play for were like, nah, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
So as Thierry Henry put it to me, their roster was like destiny. It just kind of, it came together. There wasn't something that they had formed.
Wow.
Like, everything is so beautiful.
Yeah, right.
It's
the language of love.
Language of love. It really is.
Yeah. It's romantic.
And so that was kind of one of the cool things about the tournament. But Griffin Yao, Paxton, Aronson was another great young guy to talk to. It was just Caleb Wiley, obviously, being there, getting to see him on the field for a little bit. So it was just, I can't even really put into words how great it was to see, one, the United States kind of beat expectations because a lot of people kind of counted them out. A lot of turmoil around, you know, the men's team just as a whole in general, right? But for them to be able to advance to the knockout round, and I got to remember that I think it was the first time, it's been 24 years. I got to remember the exact date again because I've been all over the place. But it's been decades upon decades since that has happened. So that was really special to be there for that.
You start off your Euro trip. I'll keep this very simple. Yeah. Tell me 2 of the places you went to that I have to go when I go to Europe. 2 of the places.
When are you going to Europe?
Soon. Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about it. I thoroughly enjoyed Marseille in France. I will say that. I know that was wasn't part of my vacation.
Yeah, not part of the Euro trip. But
Euro trip wise, then Dublin. I wish I got to spend more time there. I thought it was a fun city. The live music, everyone performing all the popular songs that we all hear that are probably global and over here. We had a guy on a guitar singing Umbrella, you know, Riri. So it was like, no, but he was good. And everybody's jumping in this pub. And we're all into it.
Everybody's jumping in this pub.
It was great. Yeah. And then there was a young girl just on the street playing in front of a statue doing Oasis, Wonderwall.
This is in?
This is all in Dublin, these 2 things. So we were basically on a live music tour. We were just kind of hopping around after the game, after the Georgia Tech FSU game, and getting to experience that part of it was just really cool. One of the guys actually looked like Eminem that was playing guitar. It was I should have taken a picture.
Yeah, should have. So, how many Georgia Tech fans do you get to talk to over there? Hey,
so,
Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah, ATU.
So my shout out to Dean Reeves. This is my my best friend's father. So I've known the Reeves family for 25 years, I think, something like that, maybe more. She's one of my oldest friends. So he is a Georgia Tech alum, a very prominent figure with Georgia Tech.
There you go.
And yeah, he's very successful. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Sarah was over there, too. So I got to ditch my group of guy friends and get to go hang out with them. I will say... FSU, there was a lot of FSU there.
Yeah,
there
were loud.
A whole lot of FSU folks there, but you can imagine how great it felt for the techies I was with, Denzel McCoy, who used to play there, one of my friends that was on the Euro trip with us, very excited when they ended up silencing the crowd.
I'm sure.
And so
you have some Florida State fans with you as well that probably were not that excited.
So I did have a Florida State fan with me that was, slightly devastated. Yeah.
What was the trash talk like between those two?
So, Dean had some trash talk with our FSU guy in the group. That he was like, you want to make a wager? And so, my friend's trying to wager drinks, and Dean's like, no.
I don't think he wants. Yeah. I don't think he can hang with Dean's wager.
A lot of trash talk was exchanged. But really cool to be there for that moment. And yes, I did get to pay attention to the game. It was great to see the game, but I also made friends with an Irish family. So now I have a new place to stay.
Of course you
do. And they're coming stateside. They're going to Boston. So I'm going to see what I can do with some contacts up there for them. I can't even – I know I've unpacked a lot, but
you know
it was crazy. It's just Yeah, pinch me.
Surprising, you and Mike Bell didn't run into each other at the game. Mike Bell decided to fly all the way over there to watch Florida State lose, which is an interesting decision.
You're already.
I'm always ready to pick a fight.
Wait till Sandra rolls in here. You're gonna have. Keep that chest that big.
You want to know the stat of the day? And Tiffany's been a part of this because she went to the Georgia Tech game. The state of Georgia has outscored Florida State.
Oh, geez.
87-24. In the last two games. So the state of Georgia owns Tallahassee.
What about the state of Georgia over just the state of Florida? Because that seems like it's probably lopsided too. Or no? Okay, cool. If you're going to be picky about your stats.
All right. Who asked you, Bama boy?
One cool moment from the game, David Shanahan, punter for Georgia Tech from Ireland. So when he went out there on the field, it was pretty cool to see the crowd respond.
AJC had a write-up by him last week. So it was really good.
That was really cool to see. So I'll have a lot more to unpack, maybe tomorrow, and then we'll see the rest of the week because I do have college football coming up too, which is crazy. So there's no slowing down. But anyway, fun trip. Good to be back with you guys, and good to get back to talking about the Falcons and you two trying to create some roster magic. They both have their boards out.
Spreadsheets.
Their spreadsheets.
Number crunching. That's all good. Calculators.
Yeah. So we'll break it down next when we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.